The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial the paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website app owners and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel, while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co. What is up, App Nation? It's your boy, Steve P. Young. Welcome to our weekly YouTube live streams where we really break down what's working in this space. Finally, my voice is back after being a little bit absent, and break down all the strategies you need to grow your downloads and, more importantly, those revenues. And I've got a longtime guest. We've been doing podcasts for years now. He's back to really break down how to really use AI, particularly ChatGPT and some of the other AI tools, to revolutionize your approach when it comes to marketing and, more importantly, the product features. I think marketing is a little bit, you know, it's going to simplify it, but the product features as well. He's a data leader with a proven track record of transforming organizations into data-driven powerhouse. If you guys have been following my channel, you know I love data-driven opinions and strategies. He's a consultant to leading European companies such as Lovo, Zalando, and Idealo. I might have fucked up on some of those words, but let's bring in Leo Barak. Lior, welcome to the back. I think, what did I say? Lior, welcome back to the show, man.
I'm so happy to be here. It's been a long time. You know, I realized yesterday I done some research to prepare. Yep. The first time we actually had a podcast together was in 2019.
19, that's it? I thought it was sooner, man. Oh, that's crazy. Well, crazy. Good. I know we've been doing one and we missed one last year, but I'm super excited to have you back in and talk all about it. We were having some technical problems. No, it was not my internet bill, but thank you, Five Live. The internet bill is super expensive, but I do pay for it every time. So, Lior, let's break it down here. How are you leveraging AI to, when it comes to, you know, obviously we're all doing it in marketing, but how have you done it with like product in particular? Can we start with that?
We can start with that. So when we think about it, one of the things that, well, let's start with the base, right? So Gen AI, basically, and this entire new thing that happens here with ChatGPT and Gemini from Google and Copilot from Microsoft that they're sharing, creating a new environment for us to actually create better driven data, because we can basically upload inside there our product activity. If it's the time on screen, it's all of the KPIs, and we can ask him to start analyzing and find areas where we can improve. And one of the interesting things that I saw now lately that is being used is uploading the pages, the time on the page, the activities on the page. So whatever events were fired on specific pages on the app, and then analyzing where you're actually losing your users in the funnel. Mm. And it need any more funnels. You don't need to create these huge dashboards where you start following, tracking, and figuring it out. You're just uploading all this information into one place. You give him the information and you ask him to analyze it and give you the results out of it. And this is, I think, where we're going in the future with products.
What do you do when you're uploading data? Like, how do you upload the data and what kind of data? Are you just copy and pasting, or am I missing something?
Oh, you copying and pasting, that's one option. So for example, with Gemini of Bard, or Bard from Google, basically the beautiful thing about it, you can connect it to your Google Drive, and you can ask it to create files from there. So you can upload there the entire CSV of your activity and ask him to analyze it. Attribution, creatives that you're showing on different pages and so on. And it can analyze it and give you quite good information.
Oh, interesting.
And if we're talking about ChatGPT, so ChatGPT, yes, of course, there is the free version, which we need to work around it because it's not allowing you to upload files.
Right.
But you can still share with it screenshots. You can still share with it different options. And if you're upgrading it basically to use their API, so this is the $20 a month that they're charging you, then you can build basically an entire system on top of it, which is quite easy and cool for...
With Gemini, do you have to upgrade to upload all those data, or how do you start uploading a file? Or like here,
this is new, and I think that with business accounts they're doing it also differently.
Okay,
and it depends really now on the new plans. I haven't yet completely updated. I didn't check it out, but with the Bard it was quite easy. You just needed to connect it to Drive and you could analyze stuff. One of the cool things that you could have done with Bard from Google was to connect to YouTube videos. And YouTube videos contain a lot of information, right? People just sharing there a lot of stuff. And if it's an e-commerce, you can just go and scan all the reviews that people are giving on products. And you can translate it into words and then keywords, and then basically creating out of it some mechanism of evaluation of a product quality.
Interesting. What is the prompt that you're using after you uploaded the file? Like, go through this data and tell me where people are dropping off? Is it that simple?
This is that simple. At the beginning, it's going to give you some errors, and then you're going to need to adjust it, right? So it's a process of learning. But the beauty about it, once you started to create the chat and you're uploading there the file and you're asking him the same questions, at some point it trains himself. So he's already knowing what you're expecting to get. And then so neat, he can give you more information. And you can start by the very basic of read this file and understand what it means. And give me an overview, and then start becoming then going into more specific topics of, can you explain to me why do I have less users arriving to this page? And then he can analyze it, and if he has the ability to actually understand also the connection between these pages, if you explain it to him, and basically give you more input, so you can teach him the funnel basically of the users or what you're expecting them to do.
So I might be able to upload a paywall, for example, and then with that, if I do the right prompts, will chat to no
paywall is not going to work out. They blocked it on purpose. I think that so there is a very interesting lawsuit actually now with ChatGPT, right? So they scanned this entire internet, they brought it all into their model, and now they're telling people that they are not allowed to take the models outside of ChatGPT, which is a bit of a legal issue. And they also scan paywalls. And sometimes when you're going to ask him, can you give me these facts about these numbers? He's going to give you numbers that were published on an MIT research that is closed to people that didn't pay. And he's going to keep insisting, I don't have the information to give you, which is the specific article. But if you're going to Google it, you're going to arrive to the article and you're going to know exactly where it's arrived from. But you won't be able to do paywalls. That's definitely not one of the things that you can do right now.
You know, what else, actually? What else have you done with the product side of things?
I'm just experimenting a lot with a good friend of mine. And one of the things that we experiment with was on marketing creatives. So we're basically uploading marketing creatives, asking him to analyze it, give us some information about what is the main elements inside the creative, what colors dominating there, and then try to start connecting then this information with Excel sheets that we're uploading on the performance of these creatives, and then getting from him recommendation what we should create more. So use more orange or use more purple and so on. And I think we talked about it in the past, and I remember that it was so complicated to do it because you needed so much information. You need very big systems to do it. And now today you're just uploading a CSV file with your performance, with the creative ideas. You can upload your creative ideas in another place, in another folder, and ask him to analyze them and scan them. And we're going into an era where it's becoming much more easier to do actually marketing and understanding the performance of it and optimize what we're doing.
Yeah, I like it. Samuel's here. I want to say hi. Five Live is here. Kevin, good to see you. Thanks for the happy Valentine's Day email as well. And then Luis is here. Vlad, good to see you. And we got Mustafa Murstaza. Hi, Steve. Love your content from India. What's up, Joe? And then we've got Top Cat Talent from Pittsburgh. And Clint here as well. Here we got Murtaza says, Perplexity AI is better than ChatGPT. It helps us narrow them to focus on specific subtopics from our prompt. What do you think?
There is a lot of options, right? So a lot of people now building on top of it and trying to create their own tools. And it just, now we're starting to see the iceberg. And I think that as we're going to go forward, there are going to be much more tools that are going to help us to analyze creatives, get better results. I remember that in 2018 in Ed Grove Summit, I was talking about the end of the analytics as a profession. And people were laughing. I was like, there is no chance. I was like, by 2025, you're going to see it happening. So I think we're getting very close. It's 2024. ChatGPT became a huge thing, right? It exploded last year. Everybody started using it. All of a sudden, you see a huge jump in there.
Right.
And what the features that they slowly rolling out, from generating images, from generating basically content. You know, you can, the beauty about it, you can tell him, this is my app. This is what I'm doing. Help me to create a description for the iOS page, and it's going to do that for you.
Yeah,
and then you can ask him, I want to do A/B testing. So create four different types of text and see which one converting you better. And you can analyze it and you can develop it. One of the things that is important to say about, this is not replacement yet for humans. So let's not freak out. It's not replacing us. And I think that this is one of the most important things that we need to remember. It's there to support us, to help us. You still need to operate some judgmental brain when it's coming to, does it make sense or not? Because they're not always having the full context, and you need to train them for a very long time before you can do that.
Yeah, I like it. You know, one of my favorite prompts, a buddy of mine, Josh from Miracle Morning, he kind of presented to this in our, we have a Slack community and he's a part of it, but I really like this prompt, and it says, act as a market researcher. What are your top 10 examples of problem statements your ideal client face when problem you solve, in their own words? Each example should be short and concise, starting with the words I need, or I wish, and I want. And I think it's good to do some market research. And yeah, go ahead, Lior. I'll pause here.
No. That's exactly the beauty about ChatGPT, right? This is what it helps you. It's also give you, you can tell him, okay, give me 10 keywords related to my app. And ask him basically to analyze it. But this is a very small part, right? So we still have, for example, Copilot now that was launched on Edge, which is also a very cool tool if you want to analyze pages. Mm. And it's sitting with you. Whatever you're going to a webpage, you can ask him to scan it and summarize it for you, or retrieve you the keywords in this article that you are just reading. And we're looking at a lot of tools that are going to simplify our lives. So there is a case that happened 3 or 4 months ago where a competitor of an app just scanned all of their pages. They went page by page, they scanned everything, they took all the keywords and all the content that they generated, and they started to generate it themselves, and they ripped off around 300,000 users from the original app. And now Google punished them. So they kicked them out of the Google shop. So don't do that from the Google store, sorry. But it's just showing what is the power that is there, right? Because if you know what are the keywords of your competition, you can actually start competing against them in the same areas and maybe even win and get some more users.
Yeah, I like it. And, you know, I'll give you guys some results I got too from this thing. You know, we did it for a client of ours, and then it was just like, made it shorter, kept making it shorter. And what the strategy that Josh shared was, after you put that, you can create like basic, where's my image again? Oh, shoot, I killed it. But you can create basic images on Facebook and then just let Facebook run, find the audience that it resonates with. And so, you know, you come up with 10 copy, throw it onto a Canva template or whatever, run those ads on Facebook, and then force Facebook to find people who resonate with the statement. And they don't have to be pretty. And that's just sort of audience finding is the strategy that he shared with me.
Yep.
Yeah.
And think about the generative AI of images, right? So you can create now already creatives together with ChatGPT. You just need to give them the main elements, the colors, and you can teach them basically how to create the creatives for you.
How do you do that? Like, what do you put? Do you put create a 10 1080 by 920 image with blah, blah, blah. Is that, can you do that with the ChatGPT?
You arrive to this level. Also, Canva already offering some limited options like that today.
Okay.
Which is a super cool feature if you have the premium with them.
I do.
You can tell them, generate for me an anima picture of somebody eating ramen in front of the sunset or whatever, and it's just going to generate it for you. And you can basically design also the size of the images, and then you can add on top of it the text, and you can run again. ChatGPT going to give you the text. You just copy paste, creating 10 pages with different text, upload it to Facebook. You save ton of time on this creative process.
Mm.
And you can just start running, right? And very soon they're going to do also with videos. So there is a new announcement that they're going to start with videos soon.
Do I need
to be able to generate 60 seconds of a video?
Do I need plus for that? I'm like, okay. I obviously am still on the same plan, but I love the, this is just for you guys here. Look, ChatGPT has what I've been saying, like decoy pricing, right? Like if I'm deciding between 20 and 25, it's like, nah, it's $5 more and I get a bunch more. Let me just buy the 25 and we'll just go through that. And so this is a great way of decoy pricing, in my opinion.
It is, and although the Teams is a little bit cooler features as well because they're giving you a little bit more of ability to work with it.
Yeah.
One of the cool things that we've done, we have the team, me and my friend, and we created basically a bunch of fake products for Amazon. We didn't have the products. We just uploaded a picture of a chair. We told him generate new images from this chair, create the description, create for me the text that needs to go there. Amazon caught us quite quickly, so don't fake products.
Yeah,
but it's also you can use it to compare prices whenever, because GPT-4 is connected to the internet already.
Okay,
you can also ask him to compare prices for you. So if you want to sell something, what is the average price that is being sold in other places?
I like it. We got a question from Francois. Hi Steve, what do you think about a 1-year free trial of the Balance app? Do you think it's a good idea? What do you think, Liar?
1 year? Too long.
Yeah, I think so too.
Way too long,
Francois. Be careful. I mean, even we have one client where they were doing pretty well with a 30-day trial with only a monthly offer, and they're making, you know, five figures a month. So that's 10,000 for when I say five figures. And we swapped it, Liar, we took away the trial on the monthly, and then we added 7-day on the yearly and made it like $70, and we saw a 200% increase in revenue the following month. And so I think 7 days ideal. I mean, some people do 14. I know a lot of AI apps do 3 because they have costs with each prompt and each thing that goes on. And so 3 or 7 generally is how I like to play it.
I think 7 years is the best one. And also we should not forget the fail of Groupon was because they reduced the prices quite heavily, and then businesses didn't manage to survive afterwards, right?
Right.
If you bought a Chinese noodles for 6 euros because of a discount, and all of a sudden it jumped to 12 or 15, your clients aren't going to come back because they're right for the deal. And you're going on a very risky path here.
Yeah, I like it. Anything else on the using AI for the product and marketing side before I start talking about other things?
We can talk about other things.
Okay. All right. Well, feel free. All right.
I can talk for hours about it because I think it's a super fascinating landscape now that's going to change the entire ecosystem of the app environment.
Yeah. You know, every time I'm talking about AI, and I did a live stream a couple of weeks ago, I like, you know, for me, Lior, like I almost like concrete examples versus being like, you could do this, you could do that. I'm like, okay, yeah, but what is the prompt? Like, you know, like tell, and then it's just, so this is why I go to this one, because I really like that he just says, hey, here's the prompt and here's how you do it. And I think, I don't know, because everybody's talking about AI, I just feel like what's missing is everybody says you can do video, you can do audio, you can create creative. I'm like, well, tell me the fucking prompt. Like, tell me the prompt. Like, tell me the prompt. Like, tell me what just to do.
But what's ask ChatGPT, tell him to prepare it for you. You can do that as well. No, so okay. I can share some of the prompt afterwards, but the idea is really it's when we're talking about exploring on Excel sheets or CSV files,
yeah,
it needs to be based on your CSV, right? So you need to tell him what he's looking at. You need to teach him basically what each of the columns means and what is good data or bad data. So it's, I cannot give you a prompt that and say, here you go, that's it. Yeah. But you can start with just learn how to use this file XYZ, and then it's going to run forward.
I like it. You know, I like what you were talking about when you're on your, here, I'll pull it up. If you guys want to subscribe to Lior Loves Data. Okay. So cookingdata.substack.com. I have it here too, but I was pulling one of the articles you talked about, you know, like about starting small and don't try to boil the ocean. Focus on one or two specific AI use cases and start there. So Lior, what should we focus on? And, you know, I want to stick with the product market fit guys first, and then we'll work our way up to the bigger guys. But like, what kind of data points should we focus on when we're just starting to get going?
So if you want to use AI to improve your performance, then you should get better. Start with the conversion of your creatives, right? So what is converting and what not? It's just to upload from Facebook, for example, your advertisement data and start working from there, extremely slowly. Learn basically the creatives, asking to generate you similar ones to the one that works, and see how it reacts, and then evaluate it slowly. Do A-B testing all the time, and you're going to see slowly how it's getting better and better, and you can leverage it in a better way.
I like it. And then it's just creatives. Anything on the product side that we can be doing too?
On the product
side? Which you've been analyzing?
We can do, if you're starting with the product side, I would recommend to start basically with a very simple analyzing pages and understanding where you're losing your users. So find the trends, basically. This is what it's good for, right? You can just dump a lot of data into it. It's going to learn it and going to give you a lot of information backwards saying, here go, that's where things are failing or not working correctly.
Nice. I like it. And then what if you're at a certain point, let's say 5 figures a month, 6 figures a month, close to that point where you're looking to scale, anything on that end?
If you're in 5 figures, then you should have your own data infrastructure already in place. You should store all of this data in one place. And then this is already a different story, right? Because you need to build API with ChatGPT. This is, again, these teams that you're going to pay on. And then you can just share a lot of the information. We still need to remember there is GDPR laws, compliance, that not allowing us to share user data. So mm-hmm. we need to be very sensitive about what we're sharing because that's a big risk. But other than that, you can start with sharing your information and start asking to analyze it and give you more info. But you need to teach it. You need to give him the information and you need to be patient. It's like a baby. At the end of the day, you're talking to a baby that has a lot of information and you need to figure out together with him what he wants, what he can give you, and how it's going to react. Right. And I think this is the important thing that we need to remember. Starting small, it's a baby. And slowly, as you're going to give him more information and more data, it's going to grow up and going to become smarter and smarter. At some point, it's not going to be complete AI, but it's using machine learning heavily and relying on a lot of the learnings, and then we can drive it forward.
You know, when you're working with clients and, you know, these consultants, these, you know, these bigger European companies, I tend to find sometimes they're stuck in data analysis. Like, hey, they don't know what to look at. And they're like, hey, we have this data, you know, what to do. Do you see common problems when you're working with these larger companies, like when it comes to what they need help with?
Of course. I think everybody is in the same area. And I just talked about it last week with somebody I'm mentoring. And I was like, the point is that we're all collecting data, but we don't keep it simple. And yeah. We have this FOMO feeling, right? Oh, I need to have this information or this piece of information because this is what's going to make my product work better or my marketing campaign do better. But at the end of the day, if you don't keep it to the basics, what actually am I here for? What did I build the app for? Is it to bring more users? Is it to sell something? Or is it just to send some users someplace else? And we talked about it also, I think, 2002 or something like this, when we talked about like data-driven.
Yeah,
this is the basics. We need to understand what is the purpose of the business and why am I doing it correctly or not? And this is where you're starting also with ChatGPT, for example, for analysis. You can do the same thing. This is the goal of my business. Am I correct? Am I doing it correctly or not? And what is the business I'm losing? And if you're giving it enough data, you can actually do that as well for you and give you the information where you're losing the users.
I see. I like it. Oh, my, something's going on with my dryer. I love this blog post that you wrote too, how to develop an AI-driven strategy. So I recommend, I'll try to link it up into the show notes, but I want to kind of break it down. So if you can kind of break it down for me too, like what is the best way to start? Because I think everybody should be utilizing AI. I mean, the ASO side, the keyword side, the description side, that's obvious. If you guys aren't doing it, you should definitely do it. We've even come up with like app names using ChatGPT and stuff like that. But let's break this down a little bit. How do we go about developing an AI-driven, data-driven strategy?
So it's first of all starting by understanding, okay, what is my goal, what I want to do with AI? Is it to improve my marketing? Is it to improve my product description? Is it to improve certain pages? And then slowly starting collecting data that related to this. And I think that this is, again, like baby steps, do it small, collect this information, bring it slowly into the AI and teach him what's going on. Yep. And then slowly ask him also, what can I improve? What can I change here? Can I change the text? Are there better keywords maybe that I can use? But you need to be able to first collect this information. And I think this is the first part. The second part is to identify what you want to do with it. So what is your goal? And then the third part is actually start working with it and learn and adapt based on whatever information you want to collect from your tools.
I love the examples you give too, like e-commerce AI can be used to recommend products to customers, personalize the shopping experience as well. Finance used to detect fraud, assess risk, and make better investment decisions and so forth.
So I don't know if you heard about Klarna, which is one of the biggest banks now in, it's not a bank actually, it's an online payment service in Europe. Mm. And they became huge because of their cool mechanism that basically in less than 10 seconds, it's make a decision if it's going to give you the loan of the money to pay for whatever product you are buying or not. And basically what you do, and this is very popular in Europe, you're paying with invoice. You're paying after 14 days or after 30 days. And they utilize basically machine learning tools to tell them this user you can trust or you cannot trust to give him this amount of money. And there are people that using it sometimes for huge invoices. And the system basically, because of the experience that they learned, they know exactly if they can trust the user or not for using it.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Luis says, can we have that link? Luis, it's not behind a paywall. You can get it. It's easy. You're just clicking the wrong link now.
There is no paywall. There is no paywall here. Everything is for free.
Yeah, everything's for free. You're just not finding the right link to get out of it. You might have to put your email address, but you can still get out of that too. And so Lior's giving away a lot of this content for free. I like it. All right, Lior, we got some questions from Five Live. Steve, what is a good CPI to target and what is the top three ad networks in order by CPI costs? Lior, do you have an opinion on this?
On CPI, for sure. Best networks, I think it depends. So CPI, there is no best CPI. I think that this is one of the worst things to say. This is my target CPI. That's reality.
Yeah, exactly. Look, Five Live, you have to, I just work backwards, right? And a lot of times, Lior, like I've always been more conservative. I'm a risk taker, but I was conservative because I'm spending other people's money. And so I think a target CPI, it really depends. You know, when we first launched our Apple search ads, we were getting the $2 and I was like, this is way too expensive. I wonder if it'll make for work for $1. So I started adjusting the bids and then getting that $1. It really depends. Some clients are willing to spend $5, $8, $10 per install because their metrics work. So it really depends on your app and, you know, your metrics. So the numbers I like to break down is the simple way is how much money you're making and how many downloads did you get from that money? And that gives you sort of your break-even point. And then that becomes your target CPI. So you can just be a little bit inefficient in the very beginning. Let's say you're making $2 for every download. And so your target CPI is $2. And then you go, okay, cool. I might be inefficient. Let's try $3 first in the first couple of months. And then we'll try to get better as it goes because everything starts kicking in, right? ASO, everything else kicks in after you have a little bit of downloads revenues kicking in because Apple wants to make money too. So
I can add one thing to this from CPI perspective. You always need to look at the conversion at the end of the day and then see if you're willing to pay this amount.
Yes.
You need to play with it up and down. You won't be able to find the best users. And to say, I remember that in the industry, it used to be in the past, I get a 10 cent user, but then he's doing nothing. He never subscribed, he never buy anything. So, okay, great. So what are you doing with it? You're just burning money. take the truck, give it to Facebook. Don't waste the time on even putting the advertisement there.
Yeah. He says, my app is cheap as F, but so you can't have high CPIs. Yeah. I mean, look, Five Live, like, what is the cheapest? If I had to pick, under my head, it would be Android in like India, Brazil, like pick a different market that is not like, you know, tier one market. And so that's going to give you the lowest CPI if that's all you want. Google, Android, and then you can put, give me 10 cents. That's where we got like 10 cents, 1 cent CPIs. But even the top ad networks, it really depends on the client. Like Apple Search Ads is the easiest to get going if you're on iOS. Google Ads is the easiest to get going if you're on Google. And then obviously, but I think, you know, especially what I've noticed with Apple Search Ads, it hits a ceiling, but you know, so like that's how I generally start off with. And then you can go into Facebook and all the other stuff if you want to too. But yeah, cool. All right. Lior, what, anything I missed from the AI side? I mean, I'm a newbie here, so I'm kind of like, I'm like, oh, what else should I ask Lior? So
we can talk for hours about a lot of stuff. It's really, I think that we're starting now to slowly understand it. And I think that very soon you're going to see much more use cases in it. To in the market, right? There are people that are already leveraging AI for their support on the app. So instead of them having customer service 24/7, they're putting the chat to answer. They teach him basically the manuals, for example, for products, or what are the typical questions and typical answers, and then ChatGPT doing the rest for them. There is a lot of cool stuff we can do. And you can really create a very good user experience. And this, again, going to this, what do you want to do actually with AI? What do you want to do with machine learning?
Yeah.
And figure this one out and then build on top of it different options.
Yeah, I like it. What's the coolest thing that you've done so far with AI besides the Amazon chairs and listings?
We basically optimized the campaign budgets. So we talked about CPI, right? But we talked about more on ROI. So the revenues versus what it costs us to bring the users, and then started optimizing campaigns to increase or find the right balance between the cost per install to the expected revenues. And AI was a super cool to do it because you just give him the information and he starts slowly analyzing it. And the more data you have. So this is, again, this is another important point. You need to have at least 1 month or 2 months of information to actually share with the model so we can learn it and understand better what's going on. And we did it, and it just started to optimize our campaign. So we didn't need to do anything except of having a output every day. This is what you need to change in your campaigns. This you should kill because they're not converting correctly. This you can increase the budget because they're converting much better. And this one, keep as they are in a very simple categories. And really, we told him, like, look at these campaigns, analyze the performance of the ROI, and recommend us what we should kill, what we should keep, and what we should increase the cost per install. And this is basically how we got a lot of the information back.
Wow. And that was through Meta?
This was, sorry, again?
Which ad platform was it?
This was in our own app. So we've done some, we're doing a lot of experiment right now because we're trying to figure out what is possible or not.
Yeah.
And it was with some chicken game. I think we talked about it that I developed many, many years ago. And it's still on the Android app. And from time to time, we just experiment on bringing users and see what happened with it.
Yeah, but what ad platform were you using? You said campaigns budget. Like, were you using Google?
We did it on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. Okay. That's crazy. Did you build this API yourself?
The API itself, we built together, yes. On ChatGPT, basically, in a quite easy way. It's quite simple, really. If you...
Really? Once like, ChatGPT, please write me this API code.
Also an option. It's also an option, right? There is a lot of options today to do it.
Yeah. That's crazy. Wait, so tell me more about this. So it was just like, what data points are you putting in? The spend, the ad creatives? It knows everything then, right? Like everything that you would see in the Facebook ad manager, you've kind of put it into the API?
Yeah, you're putting, for example, on the marketing side. So we're putting the campaign, the impressions of it, the conversion of it based on what we're receiving from Facebook. So this is like on the one side. And then on the other side, we're trying to connect basically the, if it's possible, because sometimes it's not always working well, the installs that arrived, and the conversions that happen. So what is the value revenue? I will give one small tip here as well. Don't use real revenues. Do some factor, because you're sharing it with a third party. You don't know how it's going to be used in the future. So you can just factor it in a certain number, a random number, and then you know the real numbers. And we just gave it this information and we started running with it and saw what happened.
And it's adjusting, it's sending stuff to Facebook too and auto adjusting stuff.
It's not yet. This is now the next step that we want to go towards, and then just upload Facebook. There is API from Facebook that you can do it and you can push. They don't give it to small developers. I think you need to have a certain amount of money you're spending with them. So we're just doing it as a manual one. We're receiving the output. We're looking, we're putting the numbers. It's still simplifying the process, right? Because you know exactly where you need to look at.
Yeah. I like it. I can see this being used, like, you know, something that we do with Apple Search Ads is constantly update the bids. I mean, it's a calculation, right, that I have, and it's just based on the RCPI goal along with the conversion rate of that keyword. And so that conversion rate at a high level could just be tap to install. And at a lower level, obviously, is trial activation. And it's just a math problem. It's a mathematical problem that ChatGPT can sort of tell us, hey, this keyword should be at this optimal bid based off the trial conversion that you're getting. And if we're trying to, you know, balance bids off the cost per trial instead of the cost per install.
You can also increase the complexity of it by actually telling him, this is my budget per day, this is my budget per month.
Oh, wow.
Find the right days to increase the budget. So that's what I'm saying, is like the more data you have, the more you can insert into the system, and it's slowly going to learn the patterns. And I'm going to tell you, on Wednesdays, for example, there is an assortment that is cheaper. You should increase your biddings and you should create more campaigns actually to bring more users on these days. Yeah. It can find the seasonality. It can give you much more information. And let's not forget it. At the end of the day, Facebook, Google, all of them, it's black boxes. You don't know what and how they're serving.
Right.
And what we're trying to do, this is a fight, right? It's like, are they actually serving the right users? Am I converting correctly? And by giving this information to a third party that is also a black box, but it's giving you some results, you can actually simplify your life, and you need to trust a system that's going to give you the best results, and you're running with it. And if not, you always can optimize, right? Because you can teach him, okay, this was didn't work out. You recommended these actions. For the future, take it into consideration and figure out how you can solve it. And this is part that you can take inside as well.
Is it the same chat leader from a technical perspective? Or do you create a new chat with new data?
You build the software. So it's not really like you have now with when you enter ChatGPT. It's more of a code base, very simple code bases. And there are already some companies that breaching it by creating for you a UI. So you just go, you're uploading the data to this UI, they're pushing it in the backend to ChatGPT. You're not even aware of it. And you can create, basically, you can need the output from them. So they like as it. A middleman for you.
You know what I'm thinking about? It's like until Steve Jobs came out with the GUI, right? Like the interface, it feels like it's all terminal work right now, like back in the day. What do you think?
We analogy or what? All the starting basics, right? This is how we start. And then slowly it's growing and growing and becoming better.
I know in college, I took a minor in computer science, but I took a coding class. It was all about like machine code, I think it was called. It was just a bunch of like 0 and 1. There was no like printf or any of that stuff. It was like, yeah. And it was fun. It was a fun class.
When I started coding, I started with assembler, right? Which was the basic stuff. And I remember that my teacher was super excited about, you can actually open a CD of somebody in the middle of the class or whatever. And I was like, okay, what am I doing with that? And the code was so horrible. It was so tough to actually use it. And we slowly arriving to a level where we actually can convert with the tool and tell him, this is what I need to build. Build me the code for it. And it's going to do it.
I love it. Well, we got a fan right now. Five Lives said, Lior, come up with a service apps that seemingly does all this from start to finish. I'll be your first customer. Yeah, it's way above my head, Lior. I'm like, I can't even visualize it right now. But I love what you're doing with this. Any other examples that you want to highlight?
I think that we covered quite a lot. And I think that, you know, what's else we can talk about is not marketing. It's more on the description, more on the text itself, which again, you can ask it to analyze your text. So please optimize my text to focus on these keywords, and you can put your key, you can put your descriptions, you can put inside it whatever you need, and it's actually going to work on this. And you can tell him, okay, from as a prompt, from now on, use these specific keywords in every description that you're creating. And then you just ask him to keep creating descriptions and using the specific keywords, which is also helping you to create a lot of content. I know that there is already some conversation on Google, and I think they're going to launch it somewhere in June or May, where they're going to start punishing you for AI-generated text. But it's still something that you can utilize and actually take leverage over right now in creating this text, and later on just let humans slowly optimize it and change it so to not sounds super machine driven.
Okay. All right, Lior. Well, let's move on to the app audit side of the show. And as you guys know, say with me, I like to start off every app audit with some dad jokes. All right, my friend, we'll play some for some beer in Berlin. What do you think?
Yes.
Or San Francisco. Berlin or San Francisco, where we see each other in person. Do you want to go first, or do you want?
With the dead joke, I have a very good one actually prepared. What do you call a fake spaghetti?
Hold on. What do you call a fake spaghetti?
Yep.
What?
An impasta.
I like it. An impasta. All right, Dior. Because I know you love hummus, so I'm gonna find a hummus joke. Let me see. Where was it? Okay. Dior, don't step on my joke, okay? Here we go. What is it called when you kill chickpeas?
How?
It's what is it what called?
It called? Okay.
Yeah, what is it called when you kill chickpeas? Dior, it is called homicide. There you go. I had to find that for you, man. So put L if you thought Lior's joke was better. Put S if you thought my joke was better. And then we will play loser round, buys a round. All right. Now, if you want your app audited in a future live stream, just go to appmasters.com/audit, appmasters.com/audit. And if you need any consulting, you can find, use the same link and you'll find some consulting with me as well. All right. Let's get into the first app. We have Shabazz, who says, I need more installations. And he definitely does. They are. He only has 10 installs right now. So let's take a look at the app. It's an affiliate marketing platform, provide interesting content. And then obviously he gets paid if you buy this thing here too. Any feedback for him? It looks like it's a shopping platform where you can find some interesting products. And then he obviously gets paid on the back end when you do buy the products.
I'm looking at the description and I already think about ChatGPT.
And we can do it. It's pretty bad right now.
Live. Would you like to do it?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. You want me to put it in ChatGPT and figure out what happens?
We can do that. Yeah.
Let's go to chat. What do you want me to do?
So perfect. We need to write basically recommend me how to optimize the text and improve the keyword availability. And then just paste the text and let's see what happens.
This text and what? Improve the keyword viability?
Yeah.
Viability. And then do I need to put colons? What do I need to do?
Now just paste the text and click go. That's it.
All right. Let's see what happens. I'm on 3.5. Yeah. Well, here's what I think too, Shopwalla. Like, nobody knows your, who cares that your affiliate network, right? Like, it should be talking right about shopping and getting the best, like, deals for certain products. It's like you're using affiliate market. They go professional affiliate market. We're already, it's going to make it hard for ChatGPT. You know, what I would say is write a description, an app description that for an app that showcases the hottest, trendiest electronics today at an affordable price. There you go. Look at that. And then I'd say write it for keyword viability or something. Rewrite it with.
Or improved even the SEO, right? So you can also tell him, check the SEO level of this text.
Check the SEO level of this text.
You know what? Let's try something else. Instead of it,
right, yeah.
Let's do something else. Yep. Optimize it. Optimize and check the SEO to increase visibility.
Just that generic?
Send it off. Yeah. Let's see what happens.
What if we did also, I like it. Oh, incorporate keywords. There you go. Love it. Include HT1. Oh, man, I like that. Optimize and check the to increase. Let me try this. To increase visibility for the keyword electronics. For those just listening to the podcast, ChatGPT is running right now.
It's amazing, right? Look, in a few seconds, you're already brainstorming how to improve the text.
Yeah, and it's already telling what to do. I love that. You know, here's what I would say, Shahbaz, like my opinion is I'd rather start niche. Obviously, you only have 10 downloads, so you're not getting very far trying to be super all products. Like find a niche, figure out what people are actually searching for, if it's fashion, electronics. You know, where are the margins, if you're an affiliate network that have the best margins for you, and then like do that instead of trying to be the one shopping thing. And that way you can really key in on the specific keywords, change your title, change your description, change your short description to focus on the particular keyword. And then do run ads.
Do you have Edge?
Edge? No, I don't have Edge.
If you had Edge, we could have actually taken it to Copilot and see competition and ask it to analyze the keywords from the competition, which is also a cool feature that you can do there.
Well, let's just do it right now. So what do we do? We go like shopping. Let's go Shein, for example. Analyze this text. What do you want me to do?
No. You need to have Edge as a browser. Otherwise, you won't be able to do it using Chrome. But if you copy it, I'm not sure if the genome is supporting it, but try to copy the URL.
Okay.
And then let's go to Gemini by Google and just ask him, analyze the SEO keywords in this page. And let's see if he's accessing it or not, because it's not always working.
Let's see how long it takes to. All right, we got two votes while that waits. We got SS. So, Lior, sorry. Did this. Oh, it didn't even say fashion shopping. It just said shopping online. Where's Gemini?
Now what you can do is copy the other text that we already have and ask him to optimize it based on what he just learned in this web page.
Oh. Optimize this text with what you just learned from the. I wonder if it's smart enough to do that. That's very cool, dude. This is what I'm talking about, Lior. That's what I'm talking about. I like this. This is what I'm talking about with concrete examples. Oh, wow. Okay. Not as good, but still pretty good.
You need to refine.
As you can see, like original, and then it's like best online products and deals. Like, yeah, this is way better. Your affiliate crap is just not good. I mean, they did it better. Best products, deals, reviews, dependable, trusworthy. I like it. Because then you can put your real competitor. I put Shein, but yeah, I like this a lot. That's very cool. All right, Leo, you ready for round two?
Let's do it.
You got another joke in you?
Sure.
Okay, I got a good one, though. Be careful. You want me to go first or you want to go second?
I will go second.
Okay. All right, everyone. Let's see how many votes we can get for this. Lior, why was everyone excited at the autopsy club? Why was everyone excited at the autopsy club?
Why?
It was open mic night. There you go. Open mic. Get it? You open up Michael. Okay. All right. My wife didn't get it. Sorry, honey. I'm calling you out. What do you got?
So I kept the best for last.
Okay, good.
Let's do it. Why don't X tell jokes? Why don't X tell jokes? Because they might crack up.
I like it. All right, put L if you thought Lior's joke was better, and then put S if you thought I won the round. So, and I get a free beer on Lior. All right, we'll go through the last app. Said here, I think I might have already checked your app, but we'll check your app again. Said here, said, hey, generate revenue. So we'll just go straight into the app just because we're a little bit short on time. So let me pull up the app as well and share that screen. I'm going to assume he already has downloads. That's why he just said, like, generate revenue. So I'm like, okay, cool. I will do that then. All right, here we go. Oh, I got to find the app. Where did I put it? Yep, here we go. Sorry, Lior. I think you might owe me. Thank you, Lisa and Sam. I appreciate you guys. For the win, my friend. Here we go. Berlin, come in. Give me that pint. I want a pint. I want a jug, okay? Non-alcoholic, though. I only drink non-alcoholic beer. All right, here we go. Let's get into the app. Notifications, measure your heart rate, okay? Track your data. Next. Cool. I like it. Yeah. I wonder why it's asking me all this stuff. I am 43. Just going to stay Steve. Well, I have a popular name, so I'm going to say Steve Young. Okay. Anything on the paywall side in the onboarding, Lior, that you want
to? I think that the added value wasn't clear before we arrived to the paywall. Why should I pay?
Yeah.
So it's your personal statistics, everyday track, yoga and meditation. But what is actually the difference between my yoga and Pilates app?
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, I've got some data on a high performing paywall that I'll keep for the insiders of App Masters. But what I would do is I probably remove the trial on the weekly. So if people just want to use it, remove it. Because, you know, weekly might be a one-time use thing. So I would just remove the trial on that one. The thing that I would also say is like Lior said, like, it's a heart rate thing. So like, lead with the benefits of the heart rate, like almost like the market research, like, why would I want this so that I can get ahead of some diseases possibly? And it's great. Stats and graph analysis are great, but like, it's not really leading with benefits of why I actually want this versus, you know, not doing it. So I think you got some ways here. I would just be testing the onboarding and this paywall. The onboarding was fine with me. It's just this paywall is what I would be testing a lot of here as much as possible. And then, yeah, I don't mind this. So this is good. Oh, just crashed on me. So hitting me with another paywall. Okay, this is working. Let's see. What finger am I supposed to put?
I'm thinking, you know, one more thing that you can do with it, interesting, is actually take the screenshot of the paywall and upload it to Jiminy and ask it to analyze the page and how you can improve it. You don't need to put the numbers, right? It can just analyze it itself.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong because... Okay, here we go. Let's see if it works. There's no way where my heart rate's this high. Damn, my stress level's pretty high, Lior. Not good. Let's see how far it goes. All right. Cool. While we wait for this, we'll plug a few things as well for Lior. Okay, here we go. Cool.
No, no, man. That's good.
That's not bad. Okay. Yeah, I like it. Everything else looks pretty good. I would just play around with the paywall, really. You already got downloads. Mess around with the paywall. And then if it's... that's what I would be always doing, is mess around with the paywall. I mean, I personally like to do a discount too, Lior, especially maybe after my first pulse read. Put a discount in there. You probably got me in a win moment, especially when I saw the data. And so think about even offering a discount after that. Or if it's easy enough, just put a discount right on this paywall right here. This little crown, throw a discount up there. So it does work. Stop being so stressed. Yeah, trying to. 22%. That's good. I have 1.2% stress. That's pretty high. That's pretty low. So, all right. Well, let me pull up Lior's website. I know, Lior, you got a couple of sites, but I'm going to send them to cookingdata.substack.com. Is there anywhere else you want to send them?
Main one now that I'm publishing quite a lot.
Yeah, yes.
If anyone interested, you can just subscribe. Every week or two, I'm publishing some information about data. I'm sharing a lot of learning. So the data pair is basically this entire idea behind it, is to share different articles from the internet that I find about ROI calculations and how to do it in the best way, or how to leverage AI and so on.
And yeah, check out these most popular podcasts. I mean, most popular, the post to demystifying data flow, the four zones concept explained. If you're just trying to figure out like what to do next, I love this post too. So that's what I did to sort of figure out and like plan out this entire interview as well. But yeah, it is Cooking Data with Lior, or just cookingdata.substack.com. And if you want to connect with Lior, well, his LinkedIn profile is linked up into your favorite podcast episode and YouTube description. Lior, anything else you want to talk about before we say goodbye?
No, I think we talked a lot and we have a lot more, and I'm waiting to see you next year. Oh, actually in December.
Yeah. December, hopefully. Hopefully I'll be there. We gotta work it out. Yeah. James, I need an invite, James. Shout out to you, James, from App Promotion Summit. All right, guys. Next week, we're going to talk to my friend, Benoit. He's going to really break down Facebook ads, how to get started with it, how to scale it, and with a focus on UGC, so user-generated content. How do you leverage UGC content to really make your Facebook ads fly? So tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, and I'll see you guys next week. Have a great weekend. It's President's Day weekend here in the States, so it's going to be a little bit long, but you guys have a great weekend wherever you are. Lior, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for watching, and I'll see you on the next video. Bye.
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.